Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm executive director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. Son Daniel in studio with me today. And folks, I'm a dad. And in studio celebrating the vice presidential candidate for the Republican ticket for the United States of America right now, Palin. That's right, Sarah Palin, the Barracuda, is the vice presidential candidate. Everybody's excited about this. But I thought I'd take this vision and apply it to my family. You know, what am I going to do today to prepare my daughters to be the next Palin? What can I do as a father with vision in my home out here on the eastern plains of Colorado to raise my sweet little girl Abigail to be the next Palin 25, 30, 35 years from now? Okay, so here's the vision. Here's what I'm going for. The first thing I got to get is a nickname for her. But yeah, I don't know if I can use modesty. I kind of call her modest, meek and quiet spirit. Maybe no. Can't use meek and quiet spirit. Not going to work. Barracuda. There we go. The Barracuda. That just beautifully frames the biblical picture of womanhood in Titus 2 and 1 Peter 3. I like that. How about usurper? You know, we call her the little usurper. Hey, honey, here's the little usurper. Isn't she wonderful? We call her the usurper. That would work for, you know, for the 1 Timothy 3 vision that God has for women. The Barracuda. Okay, now, if I'm going to raise the next Palin, and my little Abigail is going to turn into the next Palin, I've got to make sure that, and this is important, that I am raising a feminist. I have got to raise her to be a feminist, and she's got to call herself a feminist. And I want her to encourage every Christian woman in America to be a feminist. Yeah, that's the vision, folks. That's how we're gonna rebuild this nation on the principles of God's Word. Raise feminists. Somebody that's going to hate everything that Christianity has taught for the last 2,000 years since Moses and Paul were writing. Somebody who will really adopt the socialist, feminist concepts of the household that came down from Marx and the early feminists of the 19th century. That's what we need. I need to train her very carefully in everything that Marx taught and Gloria Steinem. Now let's go back into the 19th century when the socialists and the feminists who really spawned the modern feminist movement were writing. I want her to put pictures of feminists in her bedroom. There you go. You know, her role models, so that she will be a feminist when she is grown up. And I want to make sure that she does not raise her own children. Hopefully, she'll confine her children to daycare or preschool early on. I mean, as early as 3, 4, 5 weeks, she's got to get on with her career. She's got to define herself by what she did in the corporation. That's the goal here. And toss her kids into preschool. There you go. And then I want to make sure that she has at least one daughter who bears an illegitimate child. Call it a bastard. That's what the King James Version calls it. So, goal. This is the vision here, folks. Listen carefully. This is the vision. At least one bastard. At least one illegitimate child. That's the vision. So that, you know, she's not raising her daughter to be pure. That's part of the vision here. And then she can go out and build a powerful empire with 100 million families that leave their kids in daycare and preschools. And then we'll have 37% of kids born without fathers. No, make that 50%. And maybe even half of marriages ending in divorce. And I'll make sure that she marries a husband who doesn't have a biblical vision for raising pure daughters. And hopefully his daughters won't build homes with their hands, but his daughters will build more empires. Because Lord knows we need more empires. Well, folks, that's the vision. That's my vision for raising the next Palin. And that's the vision to renew America. All right. Well, no question, folks, the issue of women in power is somewhat complex. Now, not all, everybody agrees. Now, my guess is not everybody's going to agree with what I just said. Not everybody's excited about that kind of a vision. But it's a complex issue. Now, see, I don't believe it was sinful for Deborah to sit in judgment where no other men would back in the Old Testament. I don't actually believe that. Although she insisted that Barrack take the leadership, she wasn't trying to gain the leadership. She wasn't even interested in gaining the leadership. But it just fell in her lap. And as it turns out, she wanted Barrack to take leadership over the armies. He refused. So she said, okay, big boy, you're going to lose the honor that was due you because you're such a wimp and you're not willing to lead these armies yourself. So she didn't grapple for power. She was no feminist. Now, here's the bottom line, folks. How do you know if a nation is belly up and just about ready to go glove, glove? And our nation is cursed. Why? Because we're in debt up to our eyeballs. The birth rate is at 1.7 and women are leading in the state. That's Isaiah 3 and verse 12. Now, again, I use biblical law and biblical record and God's word to establish what is good and what is evil about a nation. I happen to think that any nation that's families are falling apart and the nation's in debt up to its eyeballs and there's a birth rate implosion happening and women are leading everywhere, according to the word of God, you're effectively at the end of that nation. That nation will not be anything worth talking about in 30, 40 years from now. Now, if there's a woman jail out there who's sticking a nail through the head of an enemy, like abortion or homosexuality, I'll praise God for that. But this empire is dying. So in the meantime, I'm going to spend my time restoring fatherhood and manhood, rebuilding the foundations of a nation that's dying. I'm going to establish a vision for generations in homes and churches across America. And if this nation is dying, I'm telling you, there is no politician I've heard of with an agenda that could salvage this nation so far anyway. But we're going to talk about how to restore a biblical view of home and family and fatherhood and motherhood next in just a moment with Scott Brown. Scott Brown has authored a new book called Feminine by Design, and he will join me next on Generations. Stay with me. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Back on Generations, friends, trying to salvage something of the family in the 21st century, trying to salvage a little fatherhood and femininity on the side, and up against what's called feminism. And so with me to discuss this really critical issue at this very, very critical time is my friend Scott Brown. He's been on the program many times before. Scott Brown's a Southern Baptist pastor from North Carolina, author of the new book, Feminine by Design. And that's available on his website, scottbrownonline.com. Scott Brown, welcome back to Generations.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to hear your voice.
You know, Scott, I mean, man, we live in terrific times. It's the worst of times. It's the best of times. But, man, it's fun to sit here in my basement and comment on the demise of an empire and then try to present a biblical solution to the issue. And as I say the demise of the empire, you know, Scott, the nation is falling apart. We have the weakest families in the Western world. 37% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. We have huge debt-to-equity ratios. At this point, there is no way on God's green earth that we are going to be a prosperous nation, anywhere near the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth in the next 20 years from now. Newsweek article just came out, I don't know if you caught it, but 70% of men are not grown up by 30 years of age. They're making less money than women are by a long shot, and way more women in law school than men. And you know, at Douglas County High School, where we worship on Sundays, the student government is up there in the hallway, and there are 19 women and 3 little boys that serve as leaders in the student government in Douglas County High School. And I just think that is representative of what our nation is and what our nation is going to be in the next 20 years from now. In Isaiah 3:12, you know the verse, women and children will lead you, and that's going to be a curse to the nation. But meanwhile, we've got this VP candidate who's on the Republican ticket who's going to save the empire, Sarah Palin. And Scott, you know, we have had a hard time getting really enthusiastic about it here at the Generation Studio. But meantime, you've got Al Mohler and James Dobson, and they just seem to be thrilled out of their minds. Why is that? Why are we not thrilled or not excited? And they seem to be very enthusiastic about Palin.
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing I am thrilled about. I'm thrilled about this. That the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we have a blessed work to do to remind the church of what the Bible has said, to recall the words and the phrases that are so blessed, that always bring life, that always rescue, that are always sources of happiness for His people. So, I mean, I think this just gives us a marvelous opportunity to repeat the very words of Scripture regarding about the roles and the responsibilities of manhood and womanhood. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity, but of course I'm not excited about the contradictions that the hand waving and the clapping for the Palin candidacy is bringing out of the Christian community, because I think it really does represent that we've forgotten something. And honestly, I think that it is actually causing a searing of the conscience of the church about the explicit statements about the role of a mother and the kind of life that God has defined for her. I think all of the encouragement for this candidacy will only further seek to sear our consciences for things very clear in Scripture. So on the one hand, I'm excited. On the other hand, it's a little bit scary.
Well, you know, on the one hand, as you said, the Church of Christ will never fail. The kingdom of God moves forward. Of course, the empires of men come and go. And so I think sometimes what we want to do is sacrifice our families, sacrifice our beliefs in order to salvage an empire. And I wonder if that's what's happening here.
Right. Yeah, well, and it seems like, because of the candidate's position on abortion, that seems to wipe away all other issues.
Yeah.
Like, for example, one of the things that I really don't understand is how is it that a presidential candidate, which was completely unacceptable about 9 days ago, is now the talk of the town and now has the support of everybody in evangelicalism.
I just
don't understand.
That just blows my mind, too. It's incredible. I mean, a week ago he was unacceptable. He was a loose cannon on a deck. We would never know what John McCain would do on any given issue, whether it be life, homosexuality, the UN rights on the Convention for the Child, any of those issues. We have no idea what John McCain would do. We don't have any confidence in him as a principled man. At least most of my friends don't, and yet Palin gets on the ticket and suddenly we like him. But the thing is, she doesn't make the man.
Well, in some way, she's a better man. She says things that we had hoped, would be said by other politicians.
Yeah.
But they don't have enough courage, so she's a good man in that sense, but she's not a man.
Yeah.
And but Kevin, what happened? Why did this candidate become acceptable overnight? I just don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I think the media was even a little enamored by her. But she does come out and say she's a feminist. Now, I think that's significant. She calls herself a feminist. I think she encourages every single evangelical, fundamentalist, Christian woman in America to be a feminist. I really do. I think all the evangelical women that are listening to her and watching her are saying, I need to be like her. And she's saying, you need to be like me. And so, you know, what is this going to do to Christianity? When all the Christians in America, even the leaders, are saying, hey, this is a really great concept. Feminism is great.
Yeah. You know, and it makes it even doubly hard for guys like us, right? We've been saying to those that are with us, be keepers at home. Be bearers of children. Be trustful and submissive wives. Make sure that you do what the Proverbs 31 woman did. She is all about the gain of her husband. You know, her efforts are to the building up of her family. You know, we are encouraging people, we're encouraging our wives to submit to their own husbands, not other husbands. So it provides so many contradictions to the message.
You know, Scott, let's say hypothetically that you sent your girls to a Christian school. I know you don't do that. You homeschool your girls. But let's say you did, okay, for sake of argument. You sent them to a Christian high school in your town, and you come to find out that one of their teachers, their homeroom teacher, is a feminist. Okay, she claims to be a feminist. She's a Christian evangelical feminist like Palin, and she teaches it and encourages others in the classroom to be feminist. I mean, do you think you or any other self-respecting Christian father should be sending their daughter to be taught by a feminist?
Well, of course, I believe that for believers to send their children to be educated by pagans is actually sinful behavior, because we've been told how we should educate our children in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And so, yes, I think we should be very, very disturbed when our children sit under the teaching of feminists, because it's in direct contradiction to the way that we've been commanded by explicit statements to educate our children.
Well, describe feminism. I mean, I think it's tied into egalitarianism. It's inextricably tied to egalitarianism myself. But how would you define feminism?
Yeah, feminism says that there are no distinctions between men and women. Women can be anything they want, and they can play any role they want. But in contrast, the Bible says that men and women are different. They have different roles. I would say that biologically they are quite different, and that difference extends to every part of their personality. Anybody who's been married knows how different men and women are. And so the feminist vision that blurs the distinctions, but we should always be aware of anyone who would blur the distinctions between men and women, at least the way that Scripture explains them to be.
Yeah. Now, you're teaching your daughters about biblical femininity. Obviously, you have decided not to teach your daughters to be the next Palin 25 years from now. But what are you teaching them? What are the basic pillars? And again, you treat this in your book, Feminine by Design. Why don't you run through some of those biblical principles?
Yeah. I wrote a book really just putting down the things that I've been trying to teach my daughters all these years about what it means to be a woman. And I put it in the form of 12 pillars of biblical womanhood. And one is that she's an image bearer. She's made in the image of God. It makes a difference, you know, how a woman views herself. I mean, if you're an atheist, you have a particular view of women. You're just a piece of meat. You can do anything you want. You can be the toy of Hitchens and Rousseau and Desaad, because it matters what you believe about the image of a woman and her nature. So she's an image bearer. She's a woman, not a man. She is a member of the church. She is a demonstration of unfading beauty, 1 Peter 3:3-4. She's a helpmeet, Genesis 2:18. She's a trustful and submissive wife, Ephesians 5:22. She's a keeper at home, Titus 2:5. She's a domestic entrepreneur, Proverbs 31. She's a fruitful bearer of children, Genesis 1:27. She's a teacher of the next generation, Ephesians 6:1-4. And she's a godly mentor. She's a Titus 2 woman. She's also a member of the church. God has designed that women would give their hearts and lives to the Church of Jesus Christ. And if their husbands die, the church is there to take care of them.
How then does the way that Scott Brown raises his daughters on these pillars, these biblical pillars that outline the vision that God has for beautiful womanhood, how does that contrast with how Palin's father raised her to be the Barracuda?
Right. Well, so, you know, all my daughters have different gifts and inclinations, and you know, we live in a community that has all kinds of opportunities. So I wanted to make sure that my daughters, first of all, understood what the Bible said about femininity so that they would be truly, really have a clear picture of it. But on a practical level, if some opportunity or some inclination in their hearts or some gift, apparently, would excite them to do something that seemed to contradict the biblical vision, then it ceased to be an opportunity. Because I believe that we are only free in Christ to train our daughters to fulfill the biblical vision. We have no freedom in Jesus Christ to train them in the way of the pagans. We are only free to do it according to Scripture. So I would evaluate all of their gifts, all of their opportunities, all of their internal passions. You know, we're so concerned about what is your passion. Well, does this passion lead you to the biblical picture? Does it help you appreciate it with all your heart? Does it help you become a living picture of it? And so that's my decision points on training my daughters had to do with that principle, and that is that we are only, capital O-N-L-Y, permitted by God to train our daughters to fulfill the biblical vision, not the feminist vision.
Yeah. All right, Scott, let's say Palin was running for president of the United States, and she was pro-life. She pretty much lined up with a lot of your principles. The other three guys running against her were nowhere near where she was in terms of those principles. Would you vote for her?
No, I would not vote for her because for a number of reasons.
Okay.
Number one, she's disqualified because she is a woman. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Bible, you know, gives us many. There are a number of places where qualifications for the civil magistrates are given, and in every instance, it is to men.
Yeah.
And it's the same language that we get for elders. The reason we don't have women preachers and women elders is because every time the Bible talks about elders, it talks about men. Now, there's no command that says that you can't be a civil magistrate, but every single time we find a qualification for civil magistrate, it's always to men. That's one thing. Here's another reason she's disqualified because of her gender. The Bible has presented to us what is called the creation order. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, here's the sequence. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. Okay? That's the creation order. And that's why women cannot be elders and preachers. But that's the order, and it's a fixed order. Now, for example, it would be a wicked thing to take man and put him above Christ, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? So it would also be a very wicked thing to take woman and put her up above God and make the order woman, God, Christ, and man. That would be bad.
Yeah. That sounds like what Gloria Steinem wants to do.
No. But it's equally as bad to put woman over a man.
Right.
We cannot play games with creation order. Mm-hmm. And that's what many in the church do not understand, that there is a fixed order and authority in the world, and God has established it. We wouldn't have created it this way because we just don't think that way. But so anyway, because she is disqualified by the qualifications in Scripture.
All right, Scott. Now, here's the reality of it, though. I mean, you heard my statistics, some of the things I talk about, the female-to-male ratio in colleges, law schools, et cetera, et cetera. The demise of fatherhood and manhood is almost complete in this country. I mean, in terms of the rank and file, the majority of families in America, manhood and fatherhood almost non-existent today. Women are going to be running our state governments, our corporations, our federal government, our judiciaries, I think the next 20, 30, 40 years. It's going to happen. All right, foundations are destroyed. What do the righteous do?
Yeah, the righteous have to return to the biblical order.
Amen.
The reason there are no men who are able to stand up and speak is because we quit letting them speak in the church and we allowed women to take that role. Hmm. Bible, Paul said, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. He said that in 1 Corinthians 14:34. I mean, I believe he said that so that men would be the ones who would speak. Yeah. Men must be there to speak in the gate. And if you stop them from speaking in the church, they can't speak in the gates. They have nothing to say. They're out playing basketball. They're doing something else. They're playing with they're fiddling with their video games.
Yeah.
While the women have risen up and taken their place. Shame on us. Shame on us for what we began in the church. The church is always a reflection of what happened in the family, and the government is always a reflection of what happened in the church. And so, the collapse really goes right back to the family and the church. So we have to recover fatherhood in the church, in the home, men who rise up and speak the great deeds of God, and then we have to make sure that men are obligated to speak in the church.
That's right. The simple message, my friends, is go home and be a father. Be a man. Learn what it is to be that vision of a godly man that God wants you to be. And I think 100 times more influential, 100 times more important than some Sarah Palin, a pro-life VP candidate, being elected as VP of the United States is, a guy or two listening to the radio show right now saying, you know what, maybe I need to crack the Word of God and figure out what God wants me to be. As I become a man in the house. And Scott, you nailed it. If we don't have men who can rule their households well, there is no way the Church of Christ will have elders who will rule well in the Church of God. So yeah, we've got to be rebuilding homes one home at a time.
Kevin, one more thing on this, I think it's so critical. When Sarah Palin gave her acceptance speech, I gathered my whole family together to hear this. I said, kids, you ain't going to hear another speech like this. This woman can give a speech. And she was absolutely masterful in her communication. Well, here's why she's so masterful. She's had practice. Why are men not masterful? Because they didn't do it in their homes. They did not learn to teach the Word of God with clarity and precision in their homes. And then they were not allowed to do it in the church.
Scott, they have no vision. These candidates running for president and vice president of the United States are terrible communicators. Terrible. They can't speak their way out of a paper bag. And you get a VP woman candidate, and she's got a little bit of vision left. She's the barracuda who's got some kind of an agenda, and she's the only speaker in the bunch. Why? Because the men lack vision. All the way from the top offices of the land down into millions upon millions upon millions of homes across America. Man, we need men with vision. And that vision is going to come when those men crack the Word of God and start applying the vision of the Word of God to their own families' lives. And that starts happening, we're going to see a massive, massive change across this nation. May it happen soon. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Scott, on Generations. We look forward to the next time you're with us.
It was a delight. We'll see you later.
And folks, if you want to check out a copy of that book, Feminine by Design, by Scott Brown, just go to his website, scottbrownonline.com. And you can check it out there. You have been listening to Generations. You can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. Folks, will you join me next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation?